And I will say the only words I know that you'll understand, my mission.
Michelle, of course, and playing that in honor of, Congresswoman Michelle Lujan Grisham, who is sitting here in our studio right now. Welcome to the Children's Hour, Congresswoman Lujan Grisham.
Hey, thank you, Katie.
Oh, there you are.
Am I here? Am
now
I here?
You're here? Now you're here. Sorry.
Excellent. Thank you. I'm delighted to be here. This is so much fun already. I want to be Pinkalicious.
I know. I want to sing like that.
Oh, well, I listen to this raspy voice, but on my best day, I can't sing at all. I used to sing Happy Birthday when my kids were little and they would cry.
Oh,
I know.
I don't believe
it's true. I'm tone deaf, but that doesn't make me I'm still happy about singing. Doesn't it make you feel good, all that singing?
It does. And actually, they do say that actually singing every day actually is a great cure for the blues.
Right. Singing, laughing, gets a body going, makes you feel good, produces all those endorphins for your brain. It's lovely.
Do they sing in Congress?
Oh, no. There is very little singing in Congress. We might have discovered exactly why it's not the happiest place on earth.
So many questions from these kids in the studio for you. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
These people are harder than Meet the Press. I'm just warning
you. Oh, listen, the toughest environments and the best is when I visit schools in the district. And it makes me feel great about the talent and the energy that we have with so many kids and so many young people in our community. It is the thing that holds me up every single day.
I can't agree more. Let's start over here with with Kaya.
What did you want to be when you were a kid?
So, Kaya, I often talk to folks about this because I really didn't have a very good plan. But, you know, I remember how much I wanted to be a dancer. And thought I would do Broadway shows and I would dance and join a dance company, but that didn't happen.
Oh, I can't. I bet you'd be really good.
I still love dancing. I still love it, but I'm not very good.
Oh, so many other questions in this story. Lila, you ready? Yeah. Okay. Here you go. Yeah.
If kids want to be Congress people, what should they do now?
So you know, the two things. I never in a million, if you asked me when I was your age or when I was 20 or when I was 30, if I ever thought I would be a member of Congress, not in my wildest dreams. So the first thing is never count or rule anything out. That's what's so wonderful about life. Things can just happen. But there's another path, and you can decide early that you want a career in public service, and particularly for girls. Girls need to decide earlier so we can get some younger voices in Congress. One of the youngest women ever was elected to Congress in this last election a year ago, and I think Elise is 28.
Oh, that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Wow, I didn't know that. We had a Facebook question I wanted to throw out here. Why should kids care about government?
Oh, because if you don't care now, it's not likely that you're going to be engaged when you get older. And actually, a lot of the policies and work that we do in Congress affects kids every day. We make decisions about your schools. We make decisions about the environment, about the water and the air. We make decisions about recreational activities. We make decisions about protecting the mountains and the rivers and the streams. So there's every day, somebody in Congress or somebody in the legislature is making a decision that impacts your life. And I will tell you, you know, if more kids care about those issues now, think about the power you'll have when you're voting at 18, and you'll have decisions about what's really important to you as you grow up.
Lots and lots and lots more questions here in the studio. Go ahead, Anna.
Are you a super delegate?
Ooh. I am a superdelegate, and that means that just because I'm elected to Congress, I am already a voting superdelegate at the convention. And, of course, the conventions in a presidential election year is what determines who the nominee is for each party.
Okay, a little follow-up question.
All right.
How are you going to decide who you vote on, for the president? Are you going to listen to the people of New Mexico, or how are you going to decide that?
That's a really very, very good question. So I do a couple of things. You know, I want everyone to come to their own conclusions about who to vote for. That's really the election process. But I think it is important for people to know who I think is equipped to be the commander-in-chief. And I've already endorsed a candidate. And so I've endorsed Secretary Hillary Clinton. And we could be here a long time to talk about that and why. But what I really want you to do is I want you to listen to both of the candidates on the Democratic side and all of the candidates on the Republican side, so that you're deciding who you think does that job the best. And maybe my constituents here, when I endorse someone, that can get them to get excited about maybe the candidate that I think is best, or it encourages them to work harder for the candidate of their choice. So I think it really engages everybody in New Mexico. Mm-hmm. So I feel good about that.
I have a follow-up question on the superdelegate thing. I a lot of us don't even understand the whole superdelegate thing at all. But the bigger question is, I heard that 17-year-olds can vote in the primary, and I know we have 17-year-olds listening. Is that really true? I have a 17-year-old. Can 17-year-olds vote in a primary?
I got to say that I'm not sure about that. I always assumed that it was 18, and if there's a different strategy for the primary. But I will tell you this. I want more folks to vote. Mm-hmm. And getting 17-year-olds, even if they can't vote in the general, engaged in the primary. So maybe that's something. I've got somebody here with me who's going to check that out right now.
Well, and look, Mark Gilbert seems to know.
Yeah, from what I heard at the delegate meeting was that if they're 18 by the election,
there you go.
But they're 17 at the primary, then they can vote.
Because they counted at 18.
18 at election day, which is what, November 7th. So if you're 18 on November 7th or before, then you can vote in the June primary.
Wow.
Perfect.
That's an awesome thing.
It's the whole go to kindergarten when you're five.
Yeah, there you go. Julia, you have a couple questions, yeah?
Yeah. So if you could change one thing about politics, what would you change?
That is a very easy thing. I would change all of the money that is involved in American politics, because I bet all of you know that there's a lot of money that floats around in these elections, billions of dollars. Imagine what New Mexico could do with the billions of dollars that we're spending just on the presidential election. So I would take all that private and we call it dark money in Congress, where sometimes we don't even know who's spending it. And so I would take all that out.
Oh gosh. Yeah, it's really. And how can we keep up with billions and billions of dollars here in New Mexico? And just think how many good things could be done with billions and billions and billions of dollars.
And it creates a credibility problem for voters, because they feel like elections are bought and paid for. And this is no way to encourage American citizens to engage in the political process.
No, it kind of makes everybody feel like you can't afford it.
That's right.
And it actually, I think, daunts people, or daunting meaning it makes people feel like I can't run, I don't have millions and billions of dollars. So I agree with you. Wow, that's really interesting. I'm surprised you didn't say how contentious it all is. There seems like there's a lot of anger right now, and the parties are so split, and it makes me so sad, because in real life it's like what you're seeing here on the Children's Hour. We all have different opinions, and yet we all get along. And it seems like in Congress, like, there's so much fighting.
Well, I'm going to tell you two things about that fighting. It's absolutely true that we don't get along as well as we should, and that having different ideas is part of the whole political process, so that you problem solve in a collective way and you represent a larger segment of the people that you serve. So think about when you're making decisions about what you want to study in school, or what books you want to read, or in your family about what TV show or movie is the most important to you. But I will tell you that it's not as contentious on the ground in person as it is in the way that the media portrays it. And so that's another issue about the political system, is that when we can do non-factual reporting, kids, can you imagine if when you were giving a book report at school that you could just ignore what the book said and make it all up? Well, that happens. And so media makes up a bunch of stuff and portrays us as having really ugly fights all of the time. So it's not as contentious, but it's not a productive environment. Not enough for me. And I think women are making a dedicated change to that. And I feel good about being part of that.
More women need to be in Congress. Speaking of women in Congress, you are part of a women's, am I right? You're part of a women's organization in Congress?
There is. The Women's Caucus is the, women have a bipartisan, bicameral caucus. So it's the senators and it's women in the House, and the men don't do that. So we're very proud of having an organization that goes across party lines and is both chambers, because it really is about working together. And so we actually accomplish a lot together.
Can we come right back to you, Congresswoman? We're hitting the bottom of our hour right now, and we have to play some announcements. But girls, you ready?
You're listening to the Children's Hour. This is 89.9 KUNM and KUNM.org, live and local from the University of New Mexico.